Hi, I'm Allie Hilfiger.
And I'm Steve Hash.
And we're the hosts of Sit-In on Podcast One.
Join us as we travel around the world visiting creative people in their homes, studios, and the places they work to discuss their story, process, and basically everything in between.
We're sitting down with the biggest names in the world of fashion, art, and music, like Tommy Hilfiger, Gigi Hadid, Bryan Adams, Martin Lawrence Ballard, and Zanna Roberts.
Check out new episodes of Sit-In every week, exclusively on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, Mandy. Get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. That's what we rely on. So thank you very much.
We do indeed.
Hey, Drewski.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the no roll.
The no roll?
Roll.
Okay.
No roll.
Okay.
Something I experience in life, something I definitely experience from unsuccessful people. I find myself having conversations with people where I ask about something and then I don't poise myself for my answer. I'd like to hear what they have to say so that I can live accordingly.
Okay.
You know, it happens in the mechanical world all the time. It's just all the time, like where someone's working on your car or they're doing whatever over at the other shop. And then I come walking back there all the time and I go, what are you doing here? Because something seems like you're wasting time or you're doing it the wrong way or the way you're
observing them and something doesn't feel right.
No, yeah. I walk around all the time looking for what doesn't feel right.
Okay.
Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it this way?
Okay, got it.
It's more tangible in the mechanical world.
I, before you attack me, I'm not knowing where you're going, so I want to understand. I'm paying attention.
That's good.
All right. So you walk around, you see people, you notice something, and you ask what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they give you an answer, and it either makes sense or it doesn't. And the mechanical world is very easy to figure out whether it makes sense or it doesn't because it's the mechanical world. And then you can move on or you can adjust. And it's an easier posture to be in. I think some people accuse people of doing something and then they're basically like Mike Nifong, Duke Lacrosse DA.
Oh, yeah.
He decided what happened, and then all the evidence in the world never really made him change his mind because he decided at the beginning.
Yeah.
Everyone should always have – here's what you should do. I believe these three boys raped this woman in the bathroom. Well, what time did that happen? Somewhere between 12:06 a.m. and 12:13 a.m. Okay. Well, here's an ATM receipt from a bank 13 miles away at 12:09, where one of them removed money, and we have video camera footage of it as well. So he couldn't have been in two places at once. At that point, you're supposed to say, all right, that guy can go home.
Mm-hmm.
Not, well, hello. I'm doubling down my efforts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what people do when they get on this no roll. You know what I mean? They start, I've experienced a million times in my life when you go into the captain's lounge and you go, I got a first class ticket to Chicago. Sir, it's only transcontinental or coast to coast in New York or Miami. Will we honor? Can you make? Okay. You start reaching for your wallet and you go, I also have a, and they start shaking their head. Like, it's like,
yeah.
How do you know what I'm pulling out now? Why are you in no? Okay.
It's really what every security guard, every concert in the country does.
Right.
They just, they're in the no roll all day.
No, all day.
Yeah.
I've had a million guys who go, I got backstage passes. I should be on. The guy at the fourth grade spelling, reading, and comprehension looks down at the clipboard for 3 seconds and looks up and goes, name's not on there. And I'm like, I can see my name upside down on there from where I'm standing.
Yeah.
So there it is.
It's weird.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
It's not probably a great modality.
No.
And I was thinking about that as I was sifting through, and it also takes place with like businesses and stuff. I was thinking about when I published my first book, I had Matt go dig out an email I sent to my editor. But when I published my first book, and you tell me if you can make heads or tails of this, like years down the road, I'm still confused. I published my first book. And unfortunately, I'm saddled with, hobbled with, and burdened with this horrible disease called common sense. Hmm. And now I have to just be punished. I go through life punished. I did my first book, In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. And the audio book, the book was a New York Times bestseller, and it did very well. Better than they expected. And that was all good. The audiobook did very well. And I said, well, you know, the audiobook did very well because people consume me in an audio way with the podcast and all.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, wow, we don't, you know, normally we don't see these kind of numbers with the audiobook. And I said, yeah, good.
Makes sense, yeah.
Makes sense. And, of course, they never saw it coming, but okay, good. Makes sense. And the audiobooks, you don't have to print or ship or put in a box or send out or anything.
Right.
You just click,
yeah.
And there's $16, you know, click, 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 $16. That's a moneymaker. I mean, there are hassles to make and edit and put together and all that kind of stuff and produce. And once you do that, and Gary, I appreciate you handing the transcript of my letter to Drew, but I think I'm just going to save it for my show. But
okay.
So turn it over, Drew, because you're a distracted person.
Okay.
I'll give you the subtext.
Okay.
No, it's no problem. Gary's doing his job. So I said to them, the publishers, big publishing house in New York, I said, hey, this book sold great, the audio version. I was contracted. The audiobooks, the way audiobooks work is they go, we give you $5,000 and you have 4 days in the studio and we give you an engineer and it's kind of a slog,
yeah.
But, and then they put it together and they blah, blah, blah. And that's, you're contractually obliged to do an audiobook. And most people hate it because it's a slog.
Yeah.
And I said, fine. I came back to them a few months later and I said, hey, look, this book had like 22 chapters or something. I must have hit half of it. But there's still a half of this I haven't even hit. Because if I did with the amount of vamping I do, if I hit every chapter and every page in that book, the audiobook would be 19 hours instead of 635, right?
Yeah.
So I said, here's what we do. When the paperback comes out, we offer a second all the missing stuff audiobook, all the stuff I didn't get to in the first audiobook. And it's pretty easy since I only did half of it.
Yeah.
It's going to be 5 hours plus, and then we'll all just get paid again when people click for the $17 audiobook or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I said, how about that? And they said, sounds good. And I said, how about this? We'll do it, and I'll split the money with you. Because I had no contractual anything to do a second audiobook. No one does a second audiobook on the audiobook.
Right, right.
This is a very unique situation where I do so much rambling and so much off the cuff that I filled a first audiobook and we have all this material laying around.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, tell you what.
Uh-oh.
We'll give you $5,000 advance and 25%, but of course your advance is going to be against the 25%. And I said, I'll tell you what.
You're out of the deal.
How about we get back to my initial idea of I do all of the work, you do nothing, and we whack it down the middle, and you thank me for this free money that you're going to get on an unprecedented second audiobook from the New York Times bestselling author, who, by the way, you wanted to do another book with.
Did you talk to them or did Matt talk to them?
I talked to him.
All right.
I talked to one of the biggest, my agent,
yeah.
My literary agent,
yeah.
One of the biggest agents in New York,
yeah.
Who is explaining to me why this wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
And I was like, instead of explaining to me why it's not going to work, why don't you explain to them how lucky they are that this has fallen on their doorstep?
Right.
And he's like, they're not going to go. I said, they offered $5,000. I said, first off, $5,000 for the amount of work that I'm going to have to do for this thing.
Yeah.
Listen, we can go do a live podcast at the Ice House in Pasadena. And I can walk out of there with $7,000 in my pocket. What the fuck am I doing this for? No, tell them I'll split it with them. And by the way, that's pretty generous, me splitting it with them, considering they do nothing. Considering I produced the whole thing, I do all the work, we do all the editing, and then we sell it on my podcast. And then you just get checks emailed to your account. Well, the agent went, I'll go back, but don't hold your breath. I said, okay, go back. He went back, and they came back again. Good news, $15,000 advance. I said, no, we're going to split the money. And he's like, they will never go for that. And I'm like, why wouldn't they go for free?
And by the way, it's that or no deal, right?
It's that or nothing.
Yeah.
It's that or zero.
Did they understand that?
I made it as clear as I could possibly make it to them. And yes, they understood it. And they had to. Drew, here's why they had to know. Because I'd already fulfilled the obligation of doing a who does two audiobooks. It's not like, well, where's our second audiobook? It's getting late. No, there is no second audiobook. This is my idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they know it's zero, Drew. Mm. So they come back with 15. And then I say, once again, to my agent, no, it's half or nothing. In which case, my agent says, well, they're never going to go for that. And I go, okay, fine. Then I'm in business with stupid people or vindictive stupid people, or I don't know who I'm in business with. And he goes back to them, and they say no. And he comes back and says no. And I say, okay, I'm in business with retarded people who don't like business, or they don't like money, or I don't know what they like. So then 2 weeks goes by, and he comes back, and he goes, this, by the way, makes me think he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He comes back in 2 weeks and goes, hey, they want to do the deal 50-50. And I'm like, of course they want to do the deal 50-50, because what they have now is nothing.
Yeah.
And what they would have then is 50% of a lot of $16 clicks for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then.
Uh-oh. It keeps going.
Well, here you are. Why didn't the deal ever get done, Drew?
Something else happened.
Right. Then they said, okay, so how do you want to proceed? I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Dawson, engineer, you're going to give him $1,000. Mike Lynch, producer, for getting all the material together, you're going to give him $1,000. And I am going to donate my studio, for that's my end of it.
Oh, this has happened before.
This is it.
Yeah, remember this? I feel like you've been through this exact same negotiation.
This is the same
before story.
Yeah. I've told you this before.
Oh, this is the same story. Well,
I said, that's the same story.
Okay, he's harkening back to the first book.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah. No, but I'm going to know where Drew's at. Yeah, I said my first book.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It happened once in the eighth grade.
Got it.
I had a coloring book I was trying to option.
Nice.
Okay. Anyway.
Very popular.
Yeah, the Phantom Toll Booth. You remember that one? Anyway.
Coloring books.
I said,
they sell.
This facility is going to take a number of days, got equipment, I had to build a place, I got to pay the mortgage on it, it's my studio. If you want to rent out a studio, it's going to cost thousands of dollars. I'll give you the studio for $2,000. You pay this guy $1,000, this guy $1,000. They go, no way. You said we're splitting it. I said, we are splitting it. You're giving them $1,000, him $1,000, and I'm taking on the price of the studio.
So you made the mistake of not saying $1,000 for them, $1,000 for them, $2,000 for the studio, I'll pay it.
Eventually, when I got pissed, I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Here's my price. $2,000 for the use and rental of my studio for 4 days. $2,000. I will absorb that. You then pay that. Or we'll just say it's $2,000. We'll just whack it down the middle. And they go, no, you said we're splitting everything.
All right, it's $4,000. We're splitting it.
I said, are you really this dumb?
Yeah.
And they're like, how dare you? And I was like, fuck you. And they're like, fuck you. And I was like, all right. Well, then I'm not doing the deal. And they're like, well, then fine. And I thought, by the way, they then got offended when I called them fucktards on the podcast. Because, where do you get off calling us stupid? It's like, where do you get off fucking wasting my time this way, you fucking idiots? And they're like, whoa, you used some pretty harsh language. Like, you wasted a whole bunch of my time, but mainly I'm frightened. You're retarded. You're fucking retarded. I can't believe that we're even having this conversation and that we've gone this deep.
What'd they say to that?
I don't even know. I just realize, of course, we never did the book. They have half of nothing. I have half of nothing. Because not over $2,000, over $1,000. You pay Lynch, we'll pay Dawson.
Yeah.
That's it. I cannot figure out how the world works. It is no other way than how I described it. They have no money off of this thing, and the people have no secondary audiobook. And that's that. They started saying no. And they couldn't.
It was more important to you that to them that you didn't make any money because you pissed them off than for them to make money.
Well, let's – first things first. When the cash cow comes in and goes, hey, I got an idea and we can split it down the middle and you're going to make money for doing nothing, I don't know why you're pissed off. I don't know why your answer isn't, oh, thanks. What's the idea? We're all ears. Let's facilitate. I have no idea why that's not your posture. Secondly, when you tell us, okay, here's a pittance. Here's something that'll make $150,000. Here's $5,000, Mr. Your Idea. And then when you go, no, that's not enough. Now you're pissed? Like you're offended? Like I'll go find a guy with a fucking Ferrari $599 and go, I'll give you $20. And he'll go, no. And I go, all right, well, that's a slap in the face. It's a fucking business, you idiots. We're trying to do a business deal here. What's wrong? Is there something wrong? These are adults who have a huge company in Manhattan, and I have a book agent who's the best in Manhattan. How does it do that? What happens? What's wrong with people?
Resentment. Resentment is a very problematic emotion.
Boy, is it? Where's the resentment come from?
Something you said to them. You made them feel a certain way.
Well, I said, let's split the money. And they said, here's $5,000. And maybe I shamed them by going no. And then they moved up to 15 and I said no. And then when I said, forget it, and they said, forget it, I said, fine. Then I shamed them when they had to come back in 2 weeks. Because they came back and said, fine, we'll split it with you.
Right.
Because, by the way, you want to talk about idiots doing business. You're looking at you're looking down the mouth of a great deal and you go, hey, fine. I'll take your money. Fine. And then you go back to your office for 2 weeks and you go, all right, let's tell them, forget it. Let's take the money. Boy, talk about noble. Jesus Christ, Drew. What goes on in this world? And now, but because you got shamed, that you had to come back to that. Now you're going to take a stand over who's paying the engineer.
Yeah.
So now.
Now you're going to get petty.
You supertards are going to take a stance over $1,000.
I've taken all I can take.
Nobody really understands. What's the genesis of this? No one ever does that. No one ever takes a look at the genesis of things.
Well,
the genesis is,
you know what it is.
I came to you to help to make you money. That's the genesis.
It's narcissism.
Jesus Christ. It's scary that these guys do this for a living. I'll tell you what isn't scary. I'll tell you some pros. True Car, man. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. Oh, if you're going to buy and you're ready to buy, and I think many of you are, Drew, you're going to swap rides the next year or so, I'd say, and you're ready to make that move, you go to True Car, you see what other people are paying, you enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It is the best. Our own Chris Maxipata used it. He's delighted over there with his decision. It is True Car. Some features not available in all states. You know, one of the most confounding things about that entire process is the people in my camp, my agents, are trying to talk me down off a ledge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you talking to me? Talk to them.
Why don't we interview that agent sometime and find out what happened? Be fun.
You'll never get to the top. You'll get to my editor.
Well, whoever was doing
She'll this. Just pass it off on other people.
All right. We got that Cameron on 4 has been on hold forever.
Cameron on 4. Cameron on 4. What's going on? 29, Arkansas?
Adam! Drew!
What's going on?
I just got to throw out there, he's got it all.
Yes, he does.
Oh, God.
He knows how to please in every detail. Thank you.
What's up?
Go on, Cameron.
I gotta tell you, I've been listening to you guys for 13 years. I have been an alcoholic for 10 years, and the whole time, really funny in an ironic way, listening to you guys, you know, talk about addiction, drug addiction on old Loveline tapes, and, you know, getting drunk every night. And I finally got diabetes, and I'm like, okay, I gotta stop, or I'm gonna die. I got up to like 450 pounds.
Oof.
And I am now a year sober. I've been going to AA. I've been going to a therapist. I mean, that's all stuff that you guys tell people on Loveline and on your podcast. And I've lost 120 pounds in a year.
Congratulations.
Nice. Down to like 330 pounds.
It's a big deal.
I know it's still pretty heavy, but, you know, I'm still losing.
Keep going, man. It's awesome. Congratulations.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I ask a question of Adam real quick?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I agree with you. I completely cannot stand Bob Dylan, but I just want to float past you real quick. What do you think of Neil Young?
First, everyone understand this contextually. Bob Dylan wouldn't bother me if everyone didn't pray at the altar of Bob Dylan. I'm bothered by him because he's known as the greatest artist of our generation, except for he can't sing or play the harmonica or play the guitar. His songs are well-written, well-crafted songs. There are many people write well, very, very well-written songs. There's plenty of good singer-songwriters out there. So he's fine. He just doesn't need to be the voice of a generation, especially when his voice sucks. Neil Young has a weird voice, writes interesting songs, and I would find myself, even though I couldn't, I would find him intolerable to sit next to on a long plane ride. I would assume Neil Young and Bob Dylan. Like the other part of this, I'd never want to spend 5 minutes with either one of them because I feel like they'd be preachy, just egomaniacal maniacs. I tend to not make as nearly strong a case for Neil Young. He's got a weird voice. He has some weird sort of bad songs, but then he has some good songs. And then there's Cinnamon Girl, good song, good riff. You know Cinnamon Girl, Max Pana? Yo, that's just a good rock and roll riff right there. So there you go, Cameron.
There it is.
Hold
Cameron.
On, turn it up. This is just straight ahead rock and roll. You can't argue with Cinnamon Girl.
I wanna live with a cinnamon girl. I can be happy the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl.
Somebody else must be singing most of the song.
I run in the night. You see us together chasing the moonlight, my cinnamon girl.
Got the clapping, always good for songs. All right, me and Turnout. Gary, you got to find why. There's a reason why I like that song. I realize somebody else is doing most of the singing. It's not Neil Young.
Crazy Horse, is that?
Yeah, it's
familiar too.
Yeah, it's Neil Young and Crazy Horse, but I don't know what Crazy Horse is.
Hey,
but
let me tell you about Onnit. Onnit has a new emulsified MCT oil.
True,
everyone
so
loves
smooth.
MCT oil. It is hands down one of the best ways to power up your body.
True checks
and brain.
Out at some point, right?
You know, you give too much Neil Young, and I want to talk about Onnit. There's lots of MCT oils to try, but no other one like emulsified MCT oil from Onnit. It's available in several flavors, coconut, vanilla, strawberry. Really, it's good flavor, tasty flavors, and you can mix it. It mixes like cream in your morning coffee.
Took a shot right out of the jug today.
It enhances your mood. It can. You got to be careful. Don't take too much. Get a little loosening of the stools, but
yeah, a little bit.
We all use it every day here. You can even mix it into foods like oatmeal, butter, or yogurt. Go to onnit.com/Adam right now, and you can get the emulsified MCT oil for 12% off. If you don't like it, they will send you your money back. No questions asked, so you have nothing to lose. MCT oil, again, it's good for your mood, controls appetite. It's back to Vinnie Tortorich and the use of fats. It's
That's
good
right.
Go to Onnit, onnit.com/Adam right now, and get on it.
All right. Danny Whitten is the guy who does the singing in that song.
He must
be a good singer because Neil Young actually sounds good in that song. Cameron, good, man.
Crazy Horse, by the way. Crazy Horse member Nils Lofgren.
Oh, there you go.
One of the past members.
Did not know that. Cameron?
Yeah, Adam?
Listen, I love your story. I love your positivity. I love the fact that you're on a roll and you're feeling strong and you're feeling positive. And I hear the positivity in your voice, and I love it.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Well, I'm glad I got to talk to my idols today. And you keep getting it on, all right?
We shall, and thanks. It means a lot when people listen and they tune in and they spread the good word. All right, let's see. Drew, you got another call?
Line one.
Let's talk to Brett, 29, from Arizona. Brett?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
I called in last year-ish when I originally called Dr. Drew on his podcast, and I was like, I had this thing on my penis, and couldn't figure out what it was. Originally got a false negative on syphilis, went down to the state clinic, and it was syphilis, took the antibiotics, thought it was done, but now I have, like, a rash on my penis again, kind of similar, and I went to the dermatologist, and he said, oh, it doesn't look like nothing, and gave me some hydrocortisone cream, and I even wait, like, a few days before I beat off again, you know, because it just to keep it calm down there, you know?
Sure.
And it's still red, and it's like kind of it by the tip, too, and I'm just like, what the hell should I do?
Does it burn?
You know? No, it doesn't burn, and, you know, the only time, I used all the hydrocortisone they gave me. And, I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Does it look like the syphilis you had before?
A little bit, like, towards, and it's almost in the same spot. Mm. But it's not, like, it's not a crazy ulcer like I had last summer, you know, running around outside in August in Arizona is when it really flared up and I was in pain. So.
Wait, it was painful?
Well, yeah, last year. And then
it makes me wonder, syphilis is usually painless. It's a painless ulcer. And if it was an ulcer that was painful that's recurring in the same zone, it makes me wonder if this is herpes.
Yeah, and everyone I've been to Planned Parenthood, the clinic, and then the dermatologist a couple weeks ago, they said that's not herpes.
Huh.
So.
Well, what about you said the heat? You hear about heat rash?
Yeah.
Drew doesn't like it because it's not a disease.
I've talked to you guys before, Drew, or Corolla, when I was a valet and you went on an epic valet rant a few years ago.
You were talking to me. Can you fucking guys remove the little stubs you put in the windshield? Like, that's the easiest gig in the world. Can you just remove that?
Hold on.
I like the fucking one, too, where they leave the stub in the windshield wiper and the tag on your keys. Like, could you assholes just fucking pull the thing off? It's pretty light lifting. It's paper.
It's always in the windshield wiper, always in the wiper, always. And then it gets down, stuffed into the...
It either gets stuffed down or it starts to drizzle and you get the weird pink stripe across the thing. But it always ends up on the street because nobody can reach around and... You just fucking... You know that part where you like open the door, hand the person keys or whatever? Yeah. Pull the fucking thing out.
I'm always shocked when they don't. Yeah.
But they never do.
Never.
It's weird, right? Like, this is kind of part of your gig.
I try to tip these guys because I feel like they work hard and stuff. I've been sort of – and you notice when you increase the tip, you get a little more service and stuff. And I've been experimenting with that, saying at what point do they actually pull the tag out
of there? No point do they ever pull that off. And it's weird because –
Maybe Brett can tell us. Is there a point? Is there some threshold we have to cross?
They don't give a fuck.
I'll tell you the best move you can do is give a tip up front, and you're gonna get your car's gonna get put in the best spot. You know, throw the guys at 20 if it's a place you go to a lot, and they'll know you as the guy that gave you the 20. You don't have to do it every single time, but do it up front. If you're gonna tip big, do it up front, because at the end we don't even look at the money a lot of times. But
what happens when you do it up front and then the other dude brings the car
we'll talk and we'll say, hey, that tall guy, yeah,
take care of
him.
The guy's complaining about his book deal over there
about the tickets. A lot on defense of probably those guys, their boss is telling, because there's advertisement on those tickets that they leave in the dash. I run my own deal.
No, not the dash. Not the dash. Under the windshield wiper. Must not be in Arizona.
That's a California thing.
Yeah, not Arizona thing.
We're all so bad here.
Hey, listen, Brett, I would suggest maybe another dermatologist, you know, because get reevaluated. It does not sound like they took you very seriously this second time around here. I mean, it really – a recurrent ulcer in the same spot makes you really wonder about herpes, and if particularly that it was painful. Not a lot of things are painful and burn. So I would check that out for sure.
All right, you should check me out tonight, Bakersfield. Tembler Brewing Co., that's right, Bakersfield. Jay Moore's going to be there with us, and then Doug Benson, November 12th. Now, Tembler is tonight. That's the whatever date that is.
26th.
26th, and tonight. Then tonight. And then, sometimes people hear the show a day late or something.
Gotcha. So like October 26th.
So also the 12th, Oxnard Levity Live with Doug Benson, and then Evening with Me and Dennis Prager. That's November 29th, Brooklyn, New York, King's Theater. And you can check out Chassis and Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette. Get some Bucks Lips. Get some merch, man, over at Corolla.com. Drew?
Go to Drew.com. Check out our family of pods there. Me and Spaz. Me and Bob Forrest. Me and Mike Catherwood. Check it out.
So, until next time, I'm Corolla for Dr. Drew. Say, mahalo.